we'd like to give our vote.
And this is LBC, leading Britain's conversation. Coming up after 6:30 the hour, we'll be finding out a little bit more about the big pro-union rally in Trafalgar Square from 6 o'clock tonight in London. Some of Britain's biggest stars, including Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger, oh, and Brian May as well, are going to be taking part in the appeal to Scotland to stay in the United Kingdom. Your thoughts on that, of course, very welcome. 0345 6060 973 is a number to call on that. First up, though, I want to talk about Generation Sensible. Now, you might think, oh, is that those people in their 50s and 60s who were really good, you know, and saved up and bought their homes, you know, for £20,000 and all worth £1 million now, or had their final salary pension schemes? Oh, yeah, aren't they sensible? Well, no, that's not Generation Sensible, actually. It turns out Generation Sensible is today's teenagers. They are, according to Department of Health figures and a variety of surveys over the recent years in terms of what they actually do in their personal lives when mum and dad aren't looking, they are less likely to drink, less likely to smoke, less likely to take drugs, particularly hard drugs like heroin. They're less likely, if they're girls, to get pregnant. There are fewer abortions and fewer babies born, suggesting there are fewer pregnancies. This it's put down to, there are two major effects, they think. One is the, one small extent in certain areas, the influence of Muslim teenagers. This tackles, actually goes back to an issue about the changing face of Britain we were discussing after 1 o'clock. But Muslim teenagers who largely don't do any of those things, and a sort of stronger family ties and less freedom to do these things and be a tearaway teen, and that's influence spreading to other teenagers. But also, largely, they think it's down to social media. Teenagers now spend less time interacting with each other in the real 3D world and more time online. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter, they're on Instagram, they're texting each other, MS, I don't know all these different things they're on. But they've got all of their interactions seem to be looking down at a phone or a tablet or in their bedroom, sitting on their own, playing computer games. I want to know, is this a good thing? Or is this a bad thing? It might sound good that kids aren't drinking and smoking and taking drugs. Now, to be fair, I didn't get pregnant or smoke or take drugs when I was a teenager. I did like a drink. I still do. I figure everyone's allowed a vice, aren't they? But I think, on balance, if it's a choice, and if it were this starker choice, I'd rather my daughter, when she's a teenager, was out having a secret tipple with her friends at parties than sitting alone in her bedroom, totally stone-cold sober, but all day or all night, sitting on a screen, living her life through the 2D screen of her tablet or her mobile phone or her computer. I want to know from you. Looking at teenagers today and how they live their lives, the pressures they've got on them about how they should look, their bodies, their weight, what they're supposed to achieve in their exams, the chances of jobs, opportunities, difficulty and cost of going to university, the issues over drink and drugs and the like. Do you think, looking back at your teenage years and looking at teenagers right now, do you think teenagers today have got it better or worse than we did? So I'm thinking back, I was a teenager in the 1980s. Great time. When maybe you were a teenager in the 70s, in the 90s, in the 50s. Think back to when you were a teenager. Do teenagers today have it better or worse? I'd like all calls to start with the words, in my day. 0345 6060 973. It sounds very glib. It's actually a serious question. First up, though, let's see if we can get an answer from Dr. Amanda Gummer, who's a psychologist and a specialist in children and their developmental issues. If I can actually say that word. Amanda, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Hi.
Hi. I think a lot of us would be quite surprised by these statistics, the idea that actually they're a bit more goody-two-shoes than we thought that teenagers were. But lots of people have this perception that teenagers, they're all out off their heads on drugs and having wild sex from the age of 12 these days. But that's really not the case, is it?
No, and isn't it nice to find some good news to say how mature and sensible some teenagers are? And I think sweeping generalisations aren't helpful for anybody, but it's really nice to find good examples of how, and I don't know the background to why people are attributing it to the two factors you said, but why aren't we attributing it to better education? The fact that we're talking more openly to our children about these things from an earlier age. In communicating with your parents, it's become much more open, and children are less, there's less of a taboo, so these things don't have that forbidden fruit element.
Well, I would have thought that would certainly help on the issue of unwanted pregnancies, having knowledge, and it's quite clear, you know, the evidence seems to be that children are having just as much sex as they want, teenagers, as they ever used to, but they're doing it with contraception, which can only be a good thing. It's, that's, you know, even if it's whatever that, you know, the worst case scenario, that's got to be better than an unwanted pregnancy. However, I would have thought that parents being open about drinking or smoking or taking drugs, the evidence for that is that actually that encourages children to do these things, doesn't it?
Depends how it's presented. I think if you're supportive and mature about it, and you treat your teenagers with respect, and you let them have a shandy or a glass of wine and soda or something as they're sort of approaching drinking age, the taboo's not there, so they're not, they don't feel the need to go and sort of flout authority. I think if you're getting drunk and falling over in front of your children, that's not a role model that they're going, you're going to want them to copy. But I think introducing children to the topics of what happens if you drink, what happens if you smoke, is really important. And I think talking about it, increased awareness of the health effects of alcohol and tobacco, I think is hitting home. I think we've got a good education program around these things now, and it's become more acceptable to talk about it. And people, there's more hard facts about how damaging abuse can be.
Well, you say that, and yet they're all eating themselves into oblivion, and we've got a huge percentage of teenagers who are grossly overweight and obese and are killing themselves with food. So they can't be that well educated on health issues.
Well, I think the obesity issue is where the smoking issue was 20 years ago. I think we're not as well educated. The foods that are doing us harm are far too readily available, and they don't come with the health warnings that you get on cigarette packs. That you get a cigarette pack now, and it's telling you it will kill you. You don't get that on a bit of junk food.
That's an interesting perspective. But what about though tackling the social media issue? These are just some suggestions that they think there might be a part of this issue about social media. The teenagers do spend so much more time indoors. They're not. I certainly spent an inordinate amount of time wandering around on the streets, hanging out on, for some reason, benches outside McDonald's were a very big thing in my teenage years. But we all thought we were unbelievably cool in our leg warmers. Yes, I'm going back that long. But
children, and your parents will have worried that you were being delinquent and causing trouble, in the same way that parents today worry about their children on screen. Whatever the teenagers of the generation do, their parents worry about.
But I would still prefer my teenager to be out and about than sitting alone in her bedroom looking at a computer screen 24/7.
Well, that's true. And it's all about balancing the play diet, making sure that children have access to a range of activities. But your vice as a...
light-hearted conversation. We like, oh, the great things we used to do as teenagers. I seem to spend an inordinate amount of time hanging around on benches outside McDonald's thinking that this was a worthwhile activity, but at least it involves social interaction with, you know, real people in the three-dimensional world, actual talking people with flesh and everything. Today, I've got teenage goddaughters. I see a lot of teenagers around, and they seem to spend an inordinate amount of time just looking down at their phones or their tablets, sitting alone in their bedrooms all day and all night looking at a screen. Do the generation of teenagers today have it better or worse than we did? What was your vice when you were a teenager? Generation sensible is what they call today's teens. Less likely to drink, smoke, or take drugs, or get pregnant. Sounds to me like they're less likely to do anything. I quite enjoyed the one of those that I did do. Tell me about your teenage years and contrast it with what teenagers do today, how much freedom they have, how much money they have, and what's expected of them. 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. And if you're a teenager who's just got out of school, 331, give us a call. LBC News time now, 331.